Welcome to Beachgrass Roots, a monthly podcast highlighting nonprofits of the North Oregon and South Washington coastal region. This production is a collaboration with the Astoria Co-op's Change for Community program. You can learn more about Change for Community and the organizations it supports at astoria.coop. This month, we'll hear from the two founding members of the North Coast Paddling Club, Sheila Rowley and Sandy Brown, as well as one of the paddlers, Carolyn Wells. The North Coast Paddling Club is an independent, nonprofit dragon boat team founded in Astoria in 2024. First, we will hear from co-founder Sheila Rowley.
My name is Sheila Rowley, and I am a founder and one of the coaches of the North Coast Paddling Club, which is Astoria's dragon boat team. Our team launched their first season, May of 2024. Our team is a new sport to this area, but it is an old sport worldwide. Historical legends are that it started about 5,000 years ago in the area of China. There is a very robust dragon boat presence in Asia, but it has, over the last several decades, expanded worldwide. There's dragon boat races on every continent, including Australia and Asia and South America, Europe, and some of our team members have actually traveled when they've been on previous teams for races. And we're hoping at some point that we will have a robust team and be able to do the same. At this point, we're just really enjoying having such a unique for this area and satisfying and fun, wonderful activity. In a typical boat, you have 20 people who paddle the dragon boat. You have a caller, also called a drummer, who has a taiko drum, calling the cadence of the stroke. And then you have a steers person in the back. The trick to becoming a good dragon boat team is that you are perfectly synchronous at all times. We have more than 20 people on the team because, of course, not everyone can make it all the time. People have busy lives. But we practice three times a week out on the John Day River. And we are really excited because this dragon boat journey that Sandy Brown and I went on, we exceeded our expectations in just really wonderful and surprising ways. And the first thing was when we thought, will we get anyone to come, when we started a team at Astoria. And the two of us had paddled for 11 years in Nehalem, which has a team. But we both thought 40 miles driving each way, that would be nice to have a team in our own community. We put up some posters around town and said a little blurb to the Daily Astorian to come to the flag room at the Astoria Library. We were crossing our fingers hoping we'd have 10 people show up, and we had over 40 people show up. And not everyone chose to be a dragon boater, but this last year we capped our roster at 36 so that everyone could get at least two practices in a week. And we have a waiting list for people who would like to join us. So we're working now about how do we run two teams. We're really excited about that and really looking forward to it. But the other way that what happened exceeded our expectations is that we felt that there was more to dragon boating than just a really rigorous and fun recreational sport. That a lot of the challenge in a lot of communities is people who are lonely, people who aren't connected to groups. And our number one goal is, could we create a community? Could we support people's emotional health as well as their physical health? That has been the most beautiful surprise of the whole experiment of starting this team. And we now have a group of people that were strangers at first and then kind of boat buddies and now are truly a community. It happens to be an all-women's team. We were hoping to have a mixed team as well. And there's a lot of men that dragon boat. But the team, when we stopped paddling in the fall, they didn't stop. The name of our club is North Coast Paddling Club. The name of our actual team, because you have lots of teams in a club, is called Coastal Rain. And so now we have the Coastal Rain book group, and then we have a Coastal Rain hiking group once a week. And so many people who never met each other before, who have become part of a close-knit community that works together, plays together. Again, that exceeded our expectation. We also want to be a competitive team, and we want to have enough people involved, enough time on the water, so that we can find a place for everyone. Some people really want to be competitive racers, and others want good, solid recreation with friends and having fun. So we're trying to see how much we can expand our niche to be a welcoming place for anyone in this community. It is a sport that you see young people doing. There's starting to be some high school teams popping up in the state of Oregon, mostly in the Portland area, but we would love to have a youth team here. I've also paddled with strong paddlers that are close to 90 years old. And there's even a team in Portland called the Golden Dragons, and you have to be at least 70 to join their team. There are no limits on who can do dragon boating. And so this last summer, one of our main goals, once we got the team started, was to see if we could take a first-year team to a race. And we managed to do that in the middle of the summer. We did a race in Ridgefield, Washington. It was just a one-day race. Our goal was that no one would fall out or tip over the boat. We managed to race 3 times that day, and everyone came in safely. That was pretty exciting. And sometimes when you're racing, there's only 10 paddlers in a boat, and a 10-person boat is a little easier to tip over in. That was a big win, and we thought, well, let's do one more. We signed up for the Portland Dragon Boat Festival, which was near the end of the summer, and those were 20-person boats, and we raced 3 times a day for 2 days. And at the end of the regatta, we were divided into various competitive divisions, and we weren't even close to the top level of competitive groups. But in our division, we placed 3rd, and everybody got a bronze medal around their neck, which was far beyond what we ever thought might happen. Friends and family who came and sat on the banks of the Willamette and cheered us on. And a nice thing, too, is when you're at a dragon boat race, there's tents, the ones like you'll see at the soccer field, that teams bring their gear and they sit under those. And how supportive other dragon boat teams are of each other. Over the PA system, a number of times, we were mentioned for being a first-year team and the first team in the Astoria area. So people around, there was hundreds of paddlers, would hear that. And we had so many people from around Oregon and Washington and even California who came up to our tent, because we had a banner, and congratulated us on being a new team. So it's not just our team that's really bonded and really believes in community. It is a underlying ethic of the sport of dragon boating. So, well, a typical dragon boat is about 50 feet long, and I'm guessing 3 to 3.5 feet wide. And it has a slightly elevated spot in the front for the drummer. And it has a standing platform in the back for the steers person. And then it has 10 rows of 2 people each. So you have 20 paddlers paddling at the same time. And it's long and it's narrow. And it does not have a deep keel on the bottom. It has none. So you have to be very, very aware of your balance and moving around the boat. It's a paddling sport. It's not a rowing sport. The way I differentiate between those two things is that the paddle, you're looking forward. And if you're rowing, you're looking where you've been. The way we start a typical practice, we try to stay to an hour. We're really good at that when it's pouring rain, when it's nice and sunny. Sometimes it seems to stretch out a little bit longer. And we start by warming up. It is a physically vigorous sport, and it uses every muscle in your body for sure. We will warm up with some easy strokes for about 5 to 10 minutes on one side, and then it's almost like a dance, the switching of sides in a dragon boat. You do it one bench at a time, keeping your weight low, and then we warm up on the second side. And then we'll do a number of drills. We might do drills in terms of different components of the stroke. It's definitely a high technique sport. Good technique and good timing trumps all the muscular power in the world. It takes a long time to really perfect the technique. I liken it to golfing, where you have to keep your eye on the ball and you have to shift your weight and you have to follow through. And there's like half a dozen different things you have to think about simultaneously. And it takes a long time before all that muscle memory is just embedded in your body. And I would say when I started dragon boating, which has been 12 years now, it took me till about my 3rd year before I could just sit down on the bench and have all the pieces working together. So you can learn to be a pretty good dragon boater in your first season, but to really be expert level, it takes a little while. So then we go out and we do the technique, like I mentioned, and then we'll do either some endurance paddles where we will just take a kind of mid-level pace and maybe go 10 minutes on each side. That's a long haul. So we might do that, or we might do sprints for speed. So all the things that you might do in any racing sport, whether it's running or riding your bike or swimming, it's the same thing. You need to have endurance, you need to have speed, you need to have technique. As it gets close to the end of the season and we're going into race season, there's a very specific protocol for starting a race. And so we have to go through race starts and all the components of that. And you have a bullhorn with a race director, and it, you know, it'll be a big blast, and you really have to be on it the minute the horn goes off. We spend a lot of time perfecting the race techniques. And then the body of a race, most of it, you want to be not going your fastest. You want to be going your strongest, probably the first 80% of the race. And then you want to sprint at the end. And then you want to cross the finish line when you have nothing left in your tank and you have pretty much exhausted your energy. You might have an hour to rebound before you have a second heat, but we managed to pull it together. Another kind of fun thing about our team is we've had some great community involvement, and we needed to design a logo, uniforms, hoodies, and other gear. And so I contacted the graphic design teacher at Seaside High School, and I said, we need to get a dragon on this logo. Can you help us? And so the Seaside High School graphic arts kids put it together and sent us some examples, and it was delightful. We were so excited to see that. And then they printed and made all of our race jerseys and all of our hoodies. So they're our vendors for our uniforms, which is pretty fun. And it supports their program. If we can give profits from our gear to high school kids, that kind of enhances even more for us the sense of community that it provides. And also Sandy and I both spent 30 years in that district, so it was kind of nice to, you know, stay connected to the people we'd worked with for a long time. This first season, I was the drummer for the boat, but over the course of the season, we trained three other paddlers to be drummers. And I think the reason that I was the default in that position is you have to be certified to be a steers person, and Sandy is a certified steers person. The one time I tried it, I almost ran the boat into the shore and almost fell off. So the steers person pretty much is in charge of how the process of a race or a practice goes, determining what's going to be the layout of the workout that we're going to do, explain it to the members. They're kind of the mouth at the front of the boat. The steers person is the one who's actually officially in charge of the boat in terms of safety. And if I were to call something that didn't look safe or didn't make sense, the steers person has the authority to say, we're not doing that. It's a fun job. It can be kind of stressful if you're trying to keep the right pace, especially in a race situation. And I have a couple of times, because I was new being in that role, I set the pace too fast or I set it too slow. And I remember setting it too fast for a sprint on the John Day and keeping it going too long. And by the time I stopped, because I misjudged the distance, everyone was just keeling over in their benches. I continue to take some ribbing for that misjudgment on my part. Now we're going to have three other women that'll be rotating with me, and I'm excited because I get to paddle, and they all get to paddle, so I'll be 25% about doing that and 75% in the water. And I've been told that there will be some time when I will be up front and they'll set a fast pace and then everybody will stop for a while and I won't know if, you know, there's a little payback coming there. So I better be in shape. That's another thing. It's a physically challenging activity, but a lot of our paddlers who started were not previous athletes and had not worked for months or years to get ready for this sport. It worked out great. People become fit as they go through the sport. If you just can't keep up in a particular thing that everyone's doing, you just pull your paddle out for 30 seconds until you get your breath, however much time you need. So no one should steer themselves away from the sport because they think they're not a good enough athlete. You become a good athlete. I don't really remember how I originally heard about dragon boats. I came from the Puget Sound area. We moved here about 20 years ago into Clatsop County, and I'd been around water all my life. And so looking for ways to get out on the water has always been something that I like to do. And to go out on the main channel of the Columbia, and I like human-powered boats as my favorite. And there's not really a lot of easy paddling in a kayak or in a canoe right in the main channel. I wasn't really familiar with all the various rivers that I realize there are here now. So I must have heard about dragon boating or seen one in Portland. It's been in Portland for a long time. I thought, well, now that looks awesome. Sandy and I would go for a walk after work quite a bit. And we both had spent a lot of time on water. And one day we just started talking about dragon boats and how cool we thought that would be. And then it became kind of a thing for a few years. Like, okay, we really want to be dragon boaters. And, you know, we'd look it up online. Oh, yeah, we got to do this. We even talked about do we want to drive into Portland for a team? I mean, that would be hard. But we even, I actually considered it. There's a large club in Portland, Wasabi, one of the bigger clubs in Portland, and they have probably 10 or more teams. And they started a satellite team in Nehalem. And as soon as we found out, you know, thought, well, we can go to Nehalem. That's great. That team is still alive and thriving, and they are now also an independent nonprofit team, just like we are. And I think their new name is Pacific Northwest Coast Paddling Club. So there's now two independent dragon boat clubs out on the Oregon coast. Well, we do need to fundraise to keep our team operating. We do have a small fee for the whole year, and we're trying to keep it small because we don't want joining to have a financial barrier. We put in some money of our own to get things going. We needed to buy some equipment. Most people eventually buy their own dragon boat paddle, but we needed to get some paddles for new people coming in and buy PFD. And we've made a sponsorship flyer with, you know, different levels and things that people could do. And we do now own our own dragon boat, and it was gifted to us by Lum's Auto. That was an enormous gift to us. And now we're working on a second boat. And last year we leased a boat, so that was kind of spendy for us. And we have charges for dock fees. And some of the things that we have done is just do a lot of word of mouth. We do something called collaborative paddling, and it is an opportunity for a group of people to come out on the boat and learn how to dragon boat. But mostly what we do is, how does dragon boating relate to team building and leadership? We will take 10 to 12 people out on the boat, and the rest of the seats need to be filled by people who are experienced dragon boaters. And we sort of have two parts to that program. One is just the boat part, and then we have a leadership workshop that we do along with it, and that, which is a higher price to do that, where we give people a book to read called Shackleton's Way, and it's about the journey of Ernest Shackleton and how he was on the ice for 2 years in Antarctica with his crew and no one died. A really remarkable fact. There were two women who, a number of years ago, wanted to write a book about him, and what were the main leadership lessons of Shackleton. We have folks read that book. We've done some school groups that worked with us, and we have some business groups lined up to do that with us. First thing we do is we get on the boat and we tell people to think about the book that you read and how those leadership lessons and team building lessons apply to the sport. And then afterwards we do a workshop for a couple of hours about, okay, how does this now transfer into your workplace or your organization? So that's a major fundraising opportunity for us. And then we just have people that are enthusiastic and tell their friends. We just get checks sometimes, which is really nice. And it does take a bit to manage a team because, again, we don't want to have a financial barrier for the people who want to participate. And we want to be able to go to races and support people because you've got travel, you've got hotels. So that's why we do need, you know, money to support the team. In terms of being on the team, we are in an expansion mode. And so we will be putting out some information on our website, which is ncpaddlingclub.com. Even though it's a nonprofit, it's a .com. We also have a Facebook page. We have not been stellar at putting things on it, and we're hoping that one of our paddlers is a really good social media person, because we've tried to do a good job of spreading out the opportunities for people to help the team. So we'll be getting some information out publicly. And last year as well, we had just flyers that the community college put up a bunch around the school, and we took them to some businesses downtown, and it seemed to catch people's eye. And I get stopped places sometimes. Once people see our website, there's a way that they can go to contact us, and then under that link there's a place to put in your email and some questions about what you're looking for in a team, or, you know, to be competitive, to be fit, to make friends, and we get that, and then we get back to you with a more robust conversation on email. Well, we'll be out recruiting probably sometime in February to get ready, and that's where we want to get a second boat. Probably won't be able to purchase one that quickly, but we'll lease a boat again so that we can get more people on the water, or we could just increase practice times too. So we're trying to figure that out. We'd like to get to the point where we don't limit how many people come on, and we don't want to limit, you know, age or gender, or if you're willing to drive, we're here. And we have quite a few paddlers that come in from the Napa-Swenson area, and the rest that come in from the Astoria, Warrenton, Seaside area. some people may have seen us, and one anecdote that was really fun and everybody enjoyed is that we signed ourselves up for the regatta parade as a drill team, and we wore our dragon boat uniforms, and we had someone in a dragon costume, and we marched in a way that was, you know, in paddlers in a boat, and I had a drum up front, and I had to walk backwards for most of the parade, and then we'd stop, you know how the parade will stop sometimes, and we would do drills and pretend like we were actually paddling a boat, and we just got lots of fun comments from people and people yelling at us, how do we do this? And so that was really fun. I would love to do that again.
I'm Carolyn Wells, and I went to the first meeting that Sandy and Sheila held at the library when they were looking for interested parties. I was on board from the very beginning of that. And the reason is because once I was invited by them to be a guest at the team in Nehalem, and I did it one time about 5 years ago, and I thought if they ever did anything closer, I would join right away because it was just so much fun. I think it's my new passion. I just enjoy it so much. Well, I've never been on a team before. I've never been on a sports team, and I never really understood what all the stuff was about being on a team, but there is really something about it that's quite unique, and I really love being in nature and trying to be in rhythm with something, because rhythm is not my forte. And I also like that in the off season, it's branched off into a hiking club and a book club. And so the women have gotten really attached to each other throughout the year.
Okay, my name is Sandy Brown. I'm the secretary treasurer of the North Coast Paddling Club, a team that's focused on dragon boating, although we hope that someday that the team will be maybe expand beyond dragon boating. A lot of teams involve outrigger canoe teams as well. Right now we're a women's team, but we hope to have co-ed teams in the future. So Sheila and I started this because for 10 years we'd been driving down to Nehalem to join the team there that's part of the Wasabi team in Portland. Finally just got to the point of, well, we love the drive. It's a beautiful drive. We love the team down there, but we wanted to start something up here, and we thought that there would be interest up here, and we were right. Right from the get-go, pretty much we had enough people show up at our interest meetings, and so we were off last spring and running. There's no requirement on where people live to participate on the team. We had a person who was up here living just for the summer from Oakland, California, and so she was on the team for 6 months. It's whatever you feel like driving in terms of getting to the practice site. Some of our greatest experiences have been the fact that a disparate group of people came together and combined to make a team. And, you know, one of my joys of doing this is being a part of a team. I love being a part of a team, whether it's a work group or a play group. That's just something adults don't have the opportunities usually to do. You know, my experience in dragon boating is that teams are super supportive of each other, even when you go to other races and the people that you're competing against. You know, everybody wants to see everybody be successful in some way. So people share paddlers, they share paddles. We borrowed a couple women from a team in Olympia when we didn't have enough people for our first race in Ridgefield, Washington this summer. Suddenly they're our best friends, and now we want to go play. We want to go race in Olympia. Another great story that I think has happened out of this team is that people who maybe haven't done sports before, women my age, I'm 67, we were on the cusp of the Title IX legislation. And so when I was in high school, there was pretty much a swim team and a tennis team. And I was a terrible tennis player, so a swim team it was. But I would have loved to have done some other things like basketball or whatever. And so a number of the women on this team, depending on where they lived in the country at the time, didn't have any opportunities for that. So it's been wonderful to see people who haven't been on sports teams before be a part of a sport team. After the season was over this fall, we typically go about 6 months of the year. Nobody wanted to be cut off from each other again. So a couple people said, oh, I like to read. Who wants to do a book club? So now there's a book club. And some people said, well, I like to hike. So now we have a monthly hiking group. People have, out of this, have come together and said, how do we keep this community going? And that's been really exciting to me. I think the thing that I like most about dragon boating is the number of people that you meet and the fact that you're outside. We're lucky to have a gorgeous spot on the John Day River where we park our boat, thanks to the Wellspring Properties people. So we're out on the John Day 3 days a week, and it's just beautiful. The weather was incredible this last summer, so we can say that, every day was a great day. And even the rainy days are great days. I'm hoping that the team will eventually grow. not just women's teams, but also there are competition groups for co-ed teams as well. And there's also teams for people with disabilities and also teams for breast cancer survivors, actually all cancer survivors now, and then also teams for teens. And so I don't know whether we can support all those types of teams in this area, but I would certainly like to try to get them going, or at least get people going who then could, when you go to a race, you can join another team. But to provide those opportunities for all those groups of people would be wonderful. We went to a race in San Diego last year on my previous team. There was a team from the New York Police Department there, and I think that would be really a wonderful thing to do, to have community groups be able to participate in races here locally someday. Someday we hope to have a race here somewhere in the county. And yeah, just and have community groups come in and have that same sense of camaraderie and exercise that we get. The appropriate spot for a race in our county would have, first of all, a dock for people to get on the boat. It doesn't have to be huge, but it has to be sturdy. And we race 500 meters of the longest race, or 250 meters. And so long enough space that we can have that race that distance, but also so that people who are watching the race can see the race as well. So there has to be a good viewing area. And then, of course, there has to be parking. So those are kind of the most important things. It would be wonderful if we could do this on the Columbia River and people could be on the Riverwalk, except that the Columbia River is much too rough for dragon boats. People suggest it all the time, but it's not going to happen there. So I don't know, maybe somewhere on Young's Bay, maybe one of the tributary rivers into the Columbia. We'll have to see. We keep our eye out, though. So if anybody is interested in participating on the team, we have a website. You can just Google North Coast Paddling Club. On the website, there's a page to leave your information. And if you think you know of a great site, or if you're interested in having us check out a particular site, then you can also fill in that form. And I check all the emails within a day or two and respond pretty quickly. One of the great things about this team is that we have all ages. We have someone who's 24, and we have people who are in their early 70s. Because there are 20 people on the boat paddling, plus an additional caller, plus additional steer, you all have different strengths. Some people are better at certain parts of the boat than others, and depending on where you're sitting in the boat, depends maybe a little bit how you change your stroke up a little bit. The great thing is that it appeals to all ages, and that's really wonderful.
Thank you for listening to this month's episode of Beach Grassroots, a program highlighting nonprofits of the North Oregon and South Washington coastal region. You can find out more about the North Coast Paddling Club at ncpaddlingclub.com. Beach Grassroots is produced at the studios of KMUN in Astoria, Oregon by me, Emma Geddes. This production is a collaboration with the Astoria Co-op's Change for Community program. You can learn more about Change for Community and the organizations it supports at astoria.coop. Beach Grassroots airs the second Thursday of every month on KMUN and can be found wherever you find podcasts. Find out how to listen to KMUN in your area at kmun.org.